This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Right now, get the lowest price at EdenPure.com with code word Howie. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
You're here to talk about infrastructure. Yes. Right now, Republicans are attacking you, saying you shouldn't be in New Hampshire talking about infrastructure. You should be in the southern border talking about immigration. How do you respond to them?
I'm not going to play political games. I'm here because the American Jobs Plan.
No, this isn't COVID, Kamala, and you know it. You just don't want to visit the southern border because you know what you're going to hear. You're in complete denial, and you need to fix the southern border.
Is that what you're saying? It's broken?
Yeah, that's it. It's broken.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You know, I've mentioned my secret weapon.
Oh, my God. It's a flip phone.
Uh-huh.
The flip phone.
The flip phone, yeah. I call every member all the time.
I called her. I said, where are you? She said, oh, I'm staying another day. So, you know, let her come home, okay?
Give me back my wife.
Trump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. So Massachusetts is not going to lose a congressional seat. Rhode Island, which was thought to be more at risk, is going to retain its two congressional seats. Wouldn't have been any great loss if Massachusetts or Rhode Island had lost a House of Representatives seat, would it? I mean, they could draw straws and nobody would know the difference. And New Hampshire is going to keep its two seats. I don't think New Hampshire was in much danger. The Florida, Texas, and other Sunbelt states are gaining congressional seats, while chillier climes like New York and Ohio lost them. California has lost a congressional seat for the first time ever. Texas was the biggest winner. The second most populous state added two congressional seats, while Florida and North Carolina gained one each. States losing seats included Illinois, Michigan. How about Rashida Tlaib? Goodbye. Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Colorado, Montana, and Oregon all gained seats. Let's see. I'm just looking to see how many seats New York lost. Because it would be interesting if AOC's congressional seat were eliminated and she was forced to run for the Senate against Chuck Schumer. Oh, wouldn't that be great? That would be one of those, isn't there some way they can both lose questions? 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Welcome to the show today. And I want to talk about a story that you're not going to hear this on much on the network newscast. You're not going to hear anything about it on the network newscast. But apparently there was an audio tape made of an Iranian leader, and the recording was leaked to a Persian anti-mullah news channel, Iran International, and they gave the recording to the Times. Listen to this. I mean, the New York Times buried the lead on the story. Former Secretary of State John Kerry informed this mullah or whoever he is that Israel had attacked Iranian interests in Syria at least 200 times, to his astonishment, Mr. Zarif said. So this Iranian was astounded that an American politician, an American who had been an elected official, ran for president, would be giving information about a close ally of the United States to the sworn enemies of the United States. David Harsanyi comments from The Federalist, it's predictable perhaps that the Times glides over this remarkable exchange in a single sentence paragraph that is submerged near the bottom of the piece. I guess it's better than The Washington Post, which doesn't even mention the interaction at all. A high-ranking American official feels comfortable sharing this information with an autocratic adversary, a government that's murdered hundreds of Americans, regularly kidnapped them, interfered with our elections, and propped up a regime that gasses its own people about the covert actions of a longtime American ally. Our Israeli friend shouldn't take it too personally. Kerry doesn't like the United States much more than he does Israel. This is pretty interesting. But again, you're not going to hear anything about this on CNN or MSNBC or the Alphabet networks tonight because hey, it doesn't fit the narrative. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Fauci is changing his tune yet again. Now, you may recall that it wasn't that long ago that Fauci was saying that masks were necessary to be worn outdoors. Let's go back to last July. That would be what? 9 months ago. 9 months ago, cut 12.
I wear a mask when I'm outside all the time, particularly making sure that I don't remove it when I'm close to people. And, you know, it doesn't bother me. I even run with a mask on. Sometimes it gets a little moist there, depending on the cloth that you're wearing. But there's nothing to indicate that wearing a mask has deleterious effects.
Yeah, but does it have positive effects? Does it do anything? You could wear a dunce cap on your head, and there's nothing to indicate it has deleterious effects either. But what's the point other than to show submission? So that was July of last year. He wears a mask outside all the time. This was yesterday when he was on with Steffi Stephanopoulos on ABC This Week, cut 11.
But I think it's pretty common sense now that outdoor risk is really, really quite low. Particularly, I mean, if you were a vaccinated person wearing a mask outdoors, I mean, obviously the risk is minuscule. What I believe you're going to be hearing, what the country is going to be going to be hearing soon, is updated guidelines from the CDC.
Updated guidelines from the CDC. In other words, it's no reason to be wearing a mask. Forget what I said. That was then, this is now. There's no reason to be wearing a mask. It's outside. It's kind of like wearing a mask in general. What he said in March of 2020 on 60 Minutes about masks in general. In general. We'll have it here shortly. He said there's no need to be wearing a mask, basically. He said he was against wearing masks before he was for wearing a mask.
So, right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
And then, of course, now there is a reason to be wearing masks, multiple masks, he said at some points. So there is there's a new study out from MIT. Did you see this? This is another one that got pretty much glossed over by the mainstream media. It was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Sounds like a pretty prestigious group. And it says that the indoor 6 feet distancing rule is ridiculous. A professor at MIT, and his name is, let's see, Martin Bazant, Martin Z. Bazant. We argue that there really isn't much of a benefit to the 6 foot rule. This is an MIT professor, especially when people are wearing masks. It really has no physical basis because the air a person is breathing while wearing a mask tends to rise and comes down elsewhere in the room, so you're more exposed to the average background than you are to a person at that distance. Okay? So in other words, there's no need for any of this. It's worthless, in other words. This guy, Professor Bazant, teaches chemical engineering and applied mathematics. So he doesn't know as much, I guess, as Dr. Fauci does. Let's see here. What our analysis shows is that many places that have been shut down, in fact, don't need to be. Oftentimes, the space is large enough, the ventilation is good enough, the amount of time people spend together is such that these spaces can be safely operated even at full capacity. 6-foot social distancing rules that inadvertently result in closed businesses and schools are, quote, just not reasonable, according to Bazant. So Fauci was wrong again. The experts were wrong.
So, Howie, we went grocery shopping over the weekend at our local Market Basket, and they still have the one-way aisles. We were going down one of the aisles the correct way, by coincidence, and somebody came up the wrong way, and he did a double take back at the arrow, and he's like, oh, whoa. And I said, dude, nobody cares. And he's like, yeah, I know. It's just conditioning at this point.
I know. We need deprogramming, you know, re-education camps.
Reintegration.
God, this is absurd. Fauci is a bureaucrat. The CDC director is a bureaucrat. This is from the internet. They all have agendas, and they're not gods. They're not oracles, and they were wrong. They have been wrong, and now they want us to live in fear because of variants. But they're so arrogant, they can't admit a mistake. They've taken a scared straight approach. So that's what they would say about that guy that you ran into in the Market Basket, Taylor. You know, of course it was jive what we were telling him, but he's so scared he won't do anything wrong.
And I told him that, by the way, with my mask pulled down around my chin.
But, you know, when they say he won't do anything wrong, I mean, going down a one-way grocery store aisle has nothing to do with anything, just like wearing a mask has nothing to do with anything, just like 6 feet distancing has nothing to do with anything, according to all the studies. Wearing a mask outdoors is beyond preposterous.
I've said it since the beginning that the least amount of time you're going to spend with somebody going down the same aisle is going the opposite way of them. That interaction is going to go by much quicker if you're both going opposite directions than if you are in the same direction.
Right, because then they're going to stop somewhere, and then you're going to have to go around them. And if they're unloading more groceries in the aisle, you're going to have to ask them to move, and they're going to have to turn around and look at you and talk to you. Oh, man.
And then if there's a Karen and she chides you for going the wrong way, then that's an extended interaction, and then you have to remind her that you wouldn't be catching the COVID if you weren't yelling at me.
Chiding, though. She most Karens do more than chide, though. They shriek.
Yeah.
They hector.
They shrilly chic. Shriek.
I'd settle for a mere chiding from your average Karen. All right. Speaking of not having to deal with supermarket madness, do you know what I miss? A true, real break. Not a running away from your life break where you go hide in the basement or throw your phone in a drawer or endless downtime. I mean a break that feels earned, a shortcut to give yourself what makes your life truly easier without sacrificing the end result. That's my experience with HelloFresh. HelloFresh lets me skip all that BS we were just talking about at the grocery store. The crowds, the traffic, the one-way aisles, the masks, the meaningless social distancing, the endless Karens. And I'm not sacrificing delicious meals. This isn't takeout HelloFresh on some space food you microwave for 10 minutes. These are whole restaurant-quality meals made with fresh, pre-portioned ingredients that you could prepare in as little as 20 minutes. I brought in the recipes here for all of the ones I've been doing lately. How about buffalo-spiced crispy chicken cutlets with Monterey Jack. I love Monterey Jack. Mashed potatoes, buttery broccoli, and a honey drizzle. And the honey drizzle, where would I get a honey drizzle? It's included in the package. And Tex-Mex pork enchilada bowls. Oh, boy, I love that. That's got rice. I love rice. And I love pork, too. And we've talked about this one before, the Cheddar Wonder Burgers and Old Bay Fries with caramelized onions and special sauce. This is great stuff.
And it really just ups your cooking game. If you never were good in the kitchen, you're going to learn how to cook with HelloFresh and cook well so that if you, you know, 1 week don't have HelloFresh for some reason, you can go out and gather all the stuff yourself and make it just the same.
Right. And if you've only got two or three people living in the house, you're going to have a lot of leftovers, too. And the leftovers are damn good as well. HelloFresh sends you all the ingredients right to your door and delivers them contact-free. And again, no trips to the supermarket. You also get easy-to-follow recipe cards with pictures at every step. With more than 25 chef-created recipes to pick from each week, you'll never run out of meals to try. And you know something else you can feel good about? HelloFresh is 28% cheaper than shopping at your local grocery store. Go to HelloFresh.com/Howie12 and use code Howie12 to get 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's code Howie12 at HelloFresh.com/Howie12 for 12 free meals. HelloFresh.com/Howie12, code Howie12. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this. The Howie Carr Show.
Dr. Fauci, give us vaccines. Help all the people who have been quarantined. We'll wear our masks and we'll
have to stay together. How can we miss him when he won't go away, as the old country song goes? This Mother's Day, celebrate all of the moms in your life with 1-800-Flowers. Right now, 1-800-Flowers is offering 24 multicolored roses plus a free vase for just $34.99. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Have you cut the cable satellite cord yet?
What are the and what?
Yes, no, or no, but I plan to soon.
No, but I plan to soon.
43% say no, they haven't cut it yet. 38% say they have cut it. 19% say they're going to soon.
Yeah, as soon as I can figure it out. It's ridiculous. I'm still paying Comcast cable in Wellesley, and I haven't been there in more than 6 months.
Yeah, it's tough if your town is monopolized by, you know, a company like that, and you don't have any other options.
Yeah.
Have you looked into Fios?
I don't know. I've got to figure something out on this this trip back. I'll be back Sunday. I'll be back in the studio in Needham on a week from today, and the VIP experience resumes a week from tomorrow. And I'll have time to figure it out. I hope to figure it out, or maybe the mailroom manager will figure it out. She's always trying to cut expenses, and this is a really good one because we don't watch TV anymore. I haven't watched any TV since the election. None. 844-500-4242. Ernest, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ernest.
Good afternoon. Yeah, in my travels of going around the metropolitan areas of, say, Boston, North New Jersey, Passaic, New York City, I can't get a breath of fresh air even outside because everywhere I go is nothing but marijuana. It's like walking to a Grateful Dead concert. It's unreal.
I know. I saw somebody wrote a column in the New York Post a couple of weeks ago about that, Ernest, that said it's gonna smell like a Grateful Dead concert in New York City. But, you know, I mean, doesn't that seem like a minor problem now compared to the entire city being shut down and all these thousands and thousands of businesses wiped out in New York? Like you say, everywhere, New York, Boston, Newark. And everybody moving out of the city and all the rampant crime that's been going on. I mean, the marijuana smoke now seems like a minor distraction, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 844-500-4242. You know, it's amazing, you know, when you've been through this crap. Like I said last week, I don't even mind the Boston Marathon anymore. You know, I'd like to see the Boston Marathon back just as a sign of normalcy. You know, even though it really was a pain in the ass that one day out of the year when I had to figure out a way to get to my job around the route. I mean, and you know, and again, pot, if people were out smoking pot on the street and, you know, even having it sitting on the stoop, having a beer, I mean, at least they would be enjoying themselves, you know? I mean, all these governors, Baker, Mills, Cuomo, they don't want anyone to enjoy themselves. They love the fascist regime that they have imposed on a liberty-loving people. Dr. Fauci, tear down that mask. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Many years ago, Jerry Williams campaigned against the mandatory seatbelt law. And the reason was, of course, that it was a just a way to give the cops another reason to stop you. And they denied that they would ever have a law on the books where they could just stop you for a seatbelt violation. And they said it was only secondary. It was a secondary law that they wanted to put on the books. There was actually a vote in the on the ballot one year in the early 1990s about it. And they were only going to use it as a secondary thing. So if they stopped you for speeding and you weren't wearing a seatbelt, they'd write you up a secondary ticket. And they swore up and down they would never make it a primary violation. Guess what? Charlie Parker has just introduced legislation to allow police to pull drivers over for failing to wear a seatbelt. Another broken promise, kind of like, stopping the increase in the gasoline taxes, like ending the tolls after the bonds that were used to pay for the building of the Massachusetts Turnpike were paid off in 1988.
Kind of like all those taxes, Howie, those tax hikes that are only for millionaires until they're not for millionaires anymore.
Right, or the temporary increase in the 5% income tax in 1989, which was repealed 31 years later, finally. So now this is another, thank you, Charlie Parker. May we have another. All right. We'll talk about more about this. I just wanted to give you a heads up on that one. Another backstab from the Rhino governor of Massachusetts. But right now it's time for Hate Mail Monday.
It's time for Howie Carr's Hate Mail Monday. Let the hate flow through you.
At this time, every week we go through the fan mail, the mash notes, the voicemails of appreciation and kudos that are issued to me and to Grace Curley and to Taylor Cormier and Jared, Grace's producer. All of us receive lots of love, right, Grace?
Yeah, a lot of the people on the message boards and on the internet really are big fans of ours, so we like to share their take on us. And Howie, today is no exception. We have a lot to get to, so it's time for Hate Mail Monday, brought to you by Piantedosi Baking Company, celebrating over 100 years of baking excellence since 1916. I want to start with your most recent column, Howie. It was a whopper. You really did use all of the old sound from Charlie Baker that I know you were playing last week, and it got a lot of attention from people online. Do you want to add anything in about that column?
No, I just was waiting to hear some of the nice things that people were saying about me. Usually, I'm looking forward to it.
Usually you give some of the background on the column, but okay, here we go.
Oh, what we did was I just said it was like his press conferences have turned into Groundhog Day. It's the same thing every day.
Exactly.
You know, we're now in the second year of 15 days to flatten the curve.
This person on the message board titled Southie Shore wrote, "Howie once again is full of lies and misinformation, but you rubes eat it all up." And another person wrote back, "Could you detail the lies and misinformation?"
Exactly. Thank you.
Another user wrote, "Yes, please cite one if you can." But Southie Shore never came back.
Southie Shore did a Dixie.
I mean, that column was full of lies and disinformation, but they were all within quotation marks.
They certainly were. And you know, one of my neighbors down here read the column. A lot of people read my columns down here, and he came up to me on Sunday after he read it. And he said, "That was a great column, Howie, but you know what you're going to do? You're going to knock Charlie Parker out of the box, and then we're going to have Mara Healy." To which I responded, "And what exactly would the difference be?"
Yeah.
And he was he had no response because there would be no difference. What does it matter?
Yeah, and I kind of feel like I'd rather have a, what's the expression about, I'd rather have a wolf than a wolf in sheep's clothing. Like, I'd rather know what I'm getting than have someone trying to bamboozle me.
Right.
All right, another person wrote, cue the has-been aggrievement shtick. Howie needs his clicks. So, so lame. Howie, please, for your own sake, do something else. Save yourself. It's not worth it.
Grace, are you able to comment on that column without clicking on it?
I don't believe so, no.
Interesting.
That's a good point.
Who else is writing this stuff? I mean, this is not like, secret tapes that I'm getting. Everybody in the media, everybody in the country, in the world, has access to this audio and this video. Why isn't someone else pointing out what a fraud this guy is?
Yeah, this isn't like Russian disinformation. This isn't something that can't be verified. He says this openly on camera.
Right. Over and over again. And Grace, did you know that the COVID vaccine is not taking the summer off?
I had heard that, actually.
And it's not leaving town either. This COVID vaccine, the COVID virus is not taking the fall off either.
Howie, I was going to comment last week when you were doing your, what did we come to the conclusion it was called? The Charlie Parker jukebox?
Yes.
I was going to say that some of my favorites when I used to really watch those every day were when he would make comments about the red states and really disparage them. And he acted like everything was going to hell. He's like, well, we don't want to be like those red states. And I kept thinking to myself, what's so bad about that? Like, why don't we want to be like Florida?
Yeah. And then he said, I know some of you are getting tired of these pedantic lectures every day, but that's why we're so effective. That's why we're so effective. Charlie, we have the third highest death rate in the United States of America. For a while, we had the highest unemployment rate. We had the highest nursing home death rate until you suddenly, one day last week, changed the way the numbers are counted so that we went from 9,000 nursing home deaths to 5,500 nursing home deaths. But everything's on the level. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
Howie, for the most part, though, I will say that your Charlie Parker columns do tend to go over really well in the comment section. There's not a lot of people who disagree with you. But one issue that you talk about on the air sometimes where we do get a lot of hate is when you comment on marijuana. So I wanted to play this sound cut for you. This is cut three.
Listening to Howie talk about marijuana is like listening to Dianne Feinstein talk about guns. Or honestly, Joe Biden talking about anything.
Some people think you're out of touch when it comes to the ganja. And you do that.
That guy doesn't know
voice.
Me very well, or he hasn't, or he doesn't know my background. I'm,
Howie,
I know
have
a
you
lot.
Ever, have you ever smoked?
I did once.
Did you inhale?
It was an experiment, you know? It was a very lengthy experiment. I think it started in 1968 and it went through to about, I don't know, early 90s.
No, really?
Come on. I'm telling you, I know it's not good. It's okay in moderation like anything else. But, you know, there are a certain number of people can't handle it, just like they can't handle alcohol or gambling or opioids or anything. And
yeah. And
you're just going to increase the number of you know, potheads lying on the couch when you legalize pot. It's a done deal. I'm not even going to complain about it anymore. I voted against it when I had a chance in the referendum.
When you came out of the fog?
All right. So, Hal, you also wrote a column, which didn't get a lot of hate, but there was one hate comment about your Martha's Vineyard porn case column. And I thought it was really interesting because this person was very angry with you. As usual, this article, I should set this up. Howie wrote a story. There was a house in Martha's Vineyard that was rented out and was used to film a porno.
Gay porn. Okay. Not just one. I mean, dozens of gay porns.
So this is what this person writes on the message board at the
Herald. And the owner didn't know that the place was being rented for that purpose. She's suing. Now she's suing.
As usual, this article from the loathsome Howie Carr tells us nothing about the legal case, but too much about his own hatreds, resentments, and prejudices. Mr. Carr proves once again what a pathetically small person he is. It seems that he actually enjoys choking on his own bile. The last part got graphic, I'm sorry.
That doesn't sound very pleasant, to choke on one's bile.
And another person.
I think probably what angered that guy was I mentioned that, you know, Gary Studs is still a big hero in on Martha's Vineyard. He was the congressman from down there, even though it's now come out that he was a serial predator when he was a teacher at St. Paul's back in the 60s. And, you know, before he even... you know, sodomized the young congressional page that he was censured by the House of Representatives for. And he still has the Atlantic Ocean off of Cape Cod is named after him. They call it the Gary Studs National Monument. I mean, all these people have been, destroyed. Weinstein, Epstein, Lauer, you know, even Cuomo is being knocked down to a peg. But Studs gets away with it. And I mentioned that, and I think Studs has these great defenders in a certain community, shall we say.
Howie, you also tweeted out about Earth Day this past week, and you tweeted out a column by the American Thinker, which goes over some of the failed predictions of the Earth, you know, of our impending doom, as Rochelle Walensky would put it. And this person replied to your tweet and said, "There is a special place in hell for you, Howie. Trump supporters and climate change deniers are idiots.
How dare you?"
Okay, that person was able to respond to that while wearing a mask.
Yeah, and that person was able to respond to that because despite what the predictions have told us, the Earth is still chugging along.
I wonder if he wrote it from New York City, which is supposed to have been underwater for, what, 10 years now?
Yeah. Well, you know, we all also died with, what was the internet thing way back when?
Y2K.
Yeah. So, and net neutrality, too. So we've all been zombies for quite some time, like twice, three times over now. Howie, I have a hate mail from that lady who really, really hates me a lot. And then I have a couple of Herald hate comments that mention you as well. So let's play cut five, please.
Howie, this is Hate Day Monday, and I hope this gets on the mail list. Nobody wants Grace. Nothing against that bimbo. Nothing against her. But she doesn't have brains enough to get out of romper room. But anyway, keep a zip on those big lips of yours.
Nothing against me, though. Just keep that in mind.
What a gracist she is.
Yes, she is. By the way, Howie, on my column about the mainstream media, which I was actually very proud of, if I do say so myself, Justin writes, "So true. I was going to say the same thing because Gracie is a product of the Howie Carr School of Yellow Journalism, lecturing real journalists. Like her mentor, this fraud will never get a job at a respectful newspaper."
What is a respectable newspaper these days? The New York Times?
I know, the Gray
the
Lady.
Post?
I would rather not. Oh, and another person says, "Grasping Grace, it's entertainers like you who pose as journalists, but whose sole motivation is to feed red meat to their audience for clicks." Once again, as Taylor pointed out, this person clicked on the article. "That is the problem. You have zero moral or ethical compass. You've sold your soul, and the country suffers as a result." I feel bad. I didn't know.
When the New York Times was making up the stories about the Russian bounties on paying the Afghans Russian bounties on American soldiers, was that clickbait? Was making up the stuff about Trump saying "find the fraud" to the Georgia bureaucrat, which he never said, was that clickbait? How about the whole Russian collusion hoax thing? Was that clickbait? The Ukrainian phone call hoax, was that clickbait?
It's also weird that as someone who's grasping at straws and who's just an entertainer who's posing as a journalist, that my articles are making the country suffer. Like, which one is it? Do I have an impact or do I not? Anyway, Hate Mail Monday is brought to you by Piantedosi Baking Company, celebrating over 100 years of baking excellence since 1918.
All right. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you,
Howard. Appreciate it. A mother is someone who loves you with all her heart. So whether it's your own mom, a stepmom, or a strong mom figure, this Mother's Day, celebrate all of the amazing women in your life with gorgeous bouquets from 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, 1-800-Flowers is offering 24 multicolored roses plus a free vase for $34.99. We have a rose bouquet from 1-800-Flowers here in the studio. It is beautiful. Everything is so fresh. The quality is perfect. It's just it's just really, really lovely. And all the it's in my office right now. And all the women in the studio come by and ask about it. It really impresses everyone.
And Howie, can I just add in for people, especially the sons out there, your mom's going to tell you she doesn't want anything, and if you don't get her something, she will be upset. So you should order her some flowers.
There is nothing sadder than seeing somebody running around a supermarket looking for the leftover roses or tulips or whatever on Mother's Day or Valentine's Day. It's just a sad sight.
It's a tragic sight to be seen. It really is.
You don't want to be that guy. This gorgeous bouquet of 2 dozen roses in an assortment of bright colors is guaranteed to show all the moms in your life just how much they're loved. I can't wait to send a 1-800-Flowers bouquet to the mailroom manager because, again, she says she doesn't want one, but I will be dining on hot tongue and cold shoulder if I don't get her one. And so will you if you don't get your mom one. 24 multicolored roses plus a free vase for $34.99 is an amazing offer. So order before Wednesday. The offers are going to get more and more pricey as time goes on. You know that. That's the way it always is. So order now. Don't put it off. This is the best chance you're going to get a bunch of flowers for a reasonable price. Beautiful flowers. Order today from the official florist of Mother's Day. 1-800-Flowers.com to order those 24 multicolored roses plus a free vase for $34.99. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Howie. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Got hate mail?
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
Send it off to Grace at HowieCarrShow.com.
Gave you a gun, the authority to use it. One is no good without the other. They don't know that out there. So they'll scream blue murder until the next time they need a man with a badge.
Howie Carr.
Hey, Howie, how you doing? Hey, I'm having a great time. And you think you are, but you're really not. You know why? Because you're a wiener.
844-500-4242. So, is there a crisis on the border, or is there not a crisis on the border? Politico, the left-wing political website, forbids the use of crisis when describing border surge, despite Biden's own use of the word. Did you hear about this? They put out a memo. The deputy production director, someone named Maya Partha Sarathi, Maya Partha Sarathi, says it does not fit the dictionary definition of a crisis, what's going on the southern border. However, dictionary.com defines crisis as, quote, a condition of instability or danger as in social, economic, political, or international affairs. Sounds like a crisis to me on the border.
And did she also describe it as a surge? Isn't that a woke crime too?
I don't think the Politico described it as a surge, but I don't know. The Cambridge English Dictionary describes crisis as a time of great disagreement, confusion, or suffering. That certainly is it. But guess what? After a day, they didn't use the word crisis for a day, but then they decided it was a crisis after all. So Politico has gone back to calling it a crisis. We'll have more from Peter Ducey asking Jen Psaki about whether or not it's a crisis down there and why isn't she going there? I'm Howie Carr.